Track 2. Hello and welcome to the news recorded on Wednesday, the 1st of February. I'm Margaret.
I'm Ian.
And I'm Joyce.
And your sound engineer this week is Martin. And this week we'd like to welcome the following new members. They are Stephen Grocott, Mary Poole, Evelyn Bennett, Harry Cross. And we do hope you would enjoy your CDs. And I would like to say a big thank you to the Anne Hollyhead, who sent us in a donation last week. So once again, thank you for your donation, which really counts towards the running of the Talking newspaper and magazine. And now Ian will start us off with the news.
A man who took a large combat knife on a trip to a shopping centre with his parents has been given a suspended jail sentence. Jordan Collins was in JD Sports at Merry Hill when the weapon was discovered inside his trousers. The 23-year-old from Dudley claimed he had the blade as he was going fishing, but this was dismissed by the judge at Wolverhampton Crown Court. Prosecutor Mr. Robert Perry said, "He was found in possession of what was described as a large combat knife. It was found in the waistband of his trousers. The knife was seized from him and he was taken to the police station." Collins of Vauxhall Street was given a 6-month jail sentence, suspended for 18 months. He will also be electronically tagged under curfew between 9 p.m. and 8 a.m. Judge James Burbage told him it was likely he would have been given an immediate prison term if he had not served almost 2 months in custody following his arrest in November. The judge said, "Having an article with a blade or point in a public place, especially the Merry Hill Shopping Centre, where folk are going about their lawful business doing their shopping, is a very serious offence. I do not for 1 minute accept your assertion that you were shopping in JD Sports waiting to go fishing and you had the knife in your waistband for that purpose." Mr. Steve Hamblett, defending, said, "The weapon was never actually brandished. Mr. Collins was shopping with his mother and father on that day. It wasn't used to threaten anyone and no members of the public saw the weapon."
A single mother admitted stealing nearly £400 worth of items from a supermarket hours before Christmas because she had bought no gifts. Laura Oakley was watched by a security guard at Sainsbury's in Albury, putting items in a shopping trolley before covering them up with clothes and an orange bag at about 3:30 p.m. last Christmas Eve. She was seen removing security tags. She then bought cigarettes from a kiosk before walking out of the Freeth Street store without paying for most of the items, totalling £388.82. A shop detective brought her back into the store, and Oakley of Hartlebury Road, Albury, denied that she had been about to take the items away, Walsall Magistrates Court was told. Mr. Shabir Qureshi, for 23-year-old Oakley, said she is extremely sorry for what she has done and worried that she is about to go to prison. Oakley must serve a 4-week community order from 7 p.m. until 7 a.m. at her home until February the 23rd.
The annual Black Country Festival will become bigger and better under agreed plans to invest £200,000 in the event and spread it out across 4 authority areas. The 3-year scheme will see a Lye-based Balti Festival, more Black Country beer festivals and theme nights and day events. The plan, which will see 3 people employed to focus on the event's expansion, will begin this year. It has been approved at a meeting of the Black Country Local Enterprise Partnership. The festival, which started in 2014, celebrates the region's best traditions and attractions during a variety of events held on and around Black Country Day on July the 14th. All this has been achieved largely through volunteers, but by setting a 3-year budget of £200,000, 3 paid staff could be employed to help expand the festival. coordinator of the festival, Steve Edwards, said, "Over the last 3 years, the festival has been expanding. But to have help through LEP to make it even bigger will be absolutely fantastic. It started in Dudley, but every year we've added events in neighbouring boroughs, and we would like to add even more. Businesses will be encouraged to sponsor the event in order to raise money, while the Black Country Consortium will also work with Dudley Arts Council to help identify sources of funding." The report, presented by Sarah Middleton, Chief Executive of the Black Country Consortium Limited, states, "Over the next 3 years, Black Country Festival Committee believe that they can extend the success of the Black Country Festival in terms of number of events, including more events throughout the year, and the geographical reach by using the template developed successfully in Dudley throughout the other Black Country councils." The report continues, "Using the success of the Black Country Festival in Dudley as a template and the growth expired to the 2017, they will work throughout 2017 to develop existing relationships and forge new ones with community groups, businesses and local councils in Sandwell, Walsall and Wolverhampton, with a view to developing the Black Country Festival in July in these areas, and with a view to extending this farther into 2018. The plan is for the festival to remain primarily focused in Dudley in 2017, with Black Country branded town centre entertainment, a lie-based Balti festival, high-profile variety nights, business showcases and extra Black Country beer festivals."
Every single parking fine appealed at Dudley's Russell Hall Hospital over a year was successfully overturned, it can be revealed. New figures showed not one penalty was upheld when challenged by irate drivers. Just over a quarter of drivers fined in 2015-2016, a total of 358, appealed. Those deemed to have broken the rules at the hospital are initially hit with £70 fines, but the bill is reduced to £40 if paid within 14 days. Hospital bosses said that the vast majority of appeals were made by staff who had not put their parking permits on display. If the 358 fines had been paid rather than appealed, it would have brought in between £14,320 and £25,060. Dudley councillor and senior UKIP member, Bill Etheridge, who has been highly critical about parking fees at Russell's Hall, said the figures showed anyone who feels they have been unfairly fined should appeal straight away. He said, "If people feel they have been unjustly fined, they should appeal, no question about it. Parking fees are an absolute disgrace anyway, and taxpayers who already pay a huge amount to the NHS are being hit again. It's a cruel extra tax on the sick, people who work there, and visitors who are worried enough as it is." Drivers at Russell's Hall are warned that they will be fined if they park it in drop-off areas for longer than the stated time, on red lines, on pavements or pedestrian walkways, on grass verges, or block access for emergency vehicles. Dr. Paul Harrison, acting chief executive of the Dudley Group, said, "The vast majority of these appeals were from members of staff using the staff car parks for failing to display a valid parking permit. On checking our permit holder database to establish they had a valid permit, the fixed penalty notices were then overturned by the trust."
Wolf sculptures that will soon take pride of place around Wolverhampton are taking shape in the studio. Wolves in Wolves will see 30 fiberglass wolf sculptures installed around the city at points of interest, allowing people to explore Wolverhampton's best attractions. Council leaders have backed the project as a great initiative for the city and hope the sculptures will be able to bring new people into different parts of Wolverhampton. The Kidderminster artists making the sculptures have revealed a glimpse of how they could look with pictures from the studio. The art project will be the largest of its kind to take place around Wolverhampton. Kevin O'Keefe, Director of Governance, said, "City of Wolverhampton Council are delighted to be able to support Wolves in Wolves project. This is a great opportunity to bring together businesses, residents and visitors to create something really exciting and vibrant for the city." Artists from the city have been invited to submit designs to be featured on the wall sculptures. School children will also be encouraged to take part in the project by designing artwork for smaller sculptures. The wall sculptures will be fixed onto plinths and stand 6 feet once installed around the city. Each one will form part of a trail looping around the heart of Wolverhampton. They will be unveiled in March. Project organisers, Outside Centre, a local Wolverhampton-based charity, hope to get household names involved in the project. The project was the main brainchild of Mandeep Singh from Wensfield, who is a business support officer at Wolverhampton Council, where he has worked for the last 2 years. Mandeep submitted his idea to the council's 100 by 100 project, which aims to improve things, and it was selected to be developed into this event. Mandeep said, "I'm really excited that my idea from the Ideas Initiative was chosen. It's been great to work alongside the Outside Centre and all the other partners to make this project a reality. I think it will be really positive for Wolverhampton." The wolf sculptures will not be a permanent fixture across the city and are set to be auctioned to raise cash for charity when the project ends in September. For more details and to find out how you can take part of the project, email info@wolvesinwolves, which is all one word, .co.uk.
A devious and complex Black Country businessman who masterminded a terrifying hate campaign against his former lover is facing a lengthy jail sentence. Robert McNaughton's was found guilty of conspiring to commit criminal damage after a plot which involved damaging the woman's belongings and culminated in a petrol bomb attack on her home. Mr. Jeremy Hayes, defending, pleaded for 51-year-old father of three McNaughton to be given bail until sentence is passed to allow him to put his life in order because he knows he's going to prison. But Judge Simon Ward rejected the request and explained, "I think he is a devious and complex man. He is right to understand what the consequences of his conviction are going to be. The defendant will know his fate on February the 17th. McNaughton wanted to get back at the victim after she ended their 7-year romance in September 2013, amid claims of him being unfaithful, the Wolverhampton Crown Court jury heard during his trial. The defendant bombarded her with threatening text messages and used a cropped photograph of an intimate moment during their romance as the profile picture on a fake Facebook account he set up in her name to embarrass her. McNaughton, now unemployed and with a violent criminal past, was jailed for 6 months in 2013 after refusing to remove a 40-foot-high rubbish mountain at Moore Street, Briley Hill site of refuse, derived fuel. The recycling business, of which he was a director until it folded. He recruited 42-year-old Matthew Barker, who he had met in prison, and Jordan Smith, 19, both from Leicestershire, to destroy and deface property belonging to his victim. Mr. Peter Arnold, prosecuting, explained, "This was not just standing outside and shouting. It was nasty, unpleasant stuff. not just on one occasion, but time after time, very often at night. It ended with a petrol bomb gutting a car and damaging the woman's home in Halesowen on February the 1st, 2015. She and her mother, the only occupants, managed to escape uninjured. McNaughton, from Tenter Drive, Halesowen, had denied the charge, blaming a phantom Romanian called Marcus, who police inquiries revealed did not exist.
Thousands of people across the Black Country in Staffordshire have signed the petition against a state visit by US President Donald Trump. The petition on the Parliament website passed 1 million signatures on Monday and will now be debated by MPs. It came amid mounting protests to the president's clampdown on immigration to the United States. Last week, President Trump signed an executive order halting the US refugee program for 120 days, indefinitely banning all Syrian refugees and suspending the entry of all nationals from 7 Muslim-majority countries. Despite thousands signing up to the petition against his visit, parts of the region were among the fewest per number of people in the constituency in the country on Monday morning. Walsall North accounted for just 430 signatures, while Wolverhampton South East had just 543, again amongst the lowest in the country. In Wolverhampton South West, there were 1,297 signatures, 611 in Wolverhampton North East, 877 in South Staffordshire, 1,430 in Bromsgrove, 718 in Dudley North, 649 in Dudley South, 921 in Halesowen and Rowley Regis, and 1,104 in Stourbridge.
A top detective has apologised to a man who spent 3 months in prison after being wrongly suspected of killing a Black Country mother. Leroy Sterling, aged 63, was jailed for life last week after being found guilty of murdering his 26-year-old ex-partner, Wendy Mann, at her flat in Chapel Street, West Bromwich. The jury was told at the end of his trial that Trevor Tyndale, 53, who was seeing Miss Mann before she died, was initially suspected of killing her and was remanded in custody for 3 months. Mr. Tyndale was later eliminated from the investigation when new evidence came to light. Detective Inspector Martin Sleavin from West Midlands Police confirmed that the force had apologised to Mr. Tyndale, who Sterling bludgeoned with a hammer 6 weeks before killing Miss Mann in August 2015. But the force defended its investigation and said it followed the evidence. Sterling was convicted of the murder of Miss Mann and the attempted murder of Mr. Tyndale at Wolverhampton Crown Court following a 2-week trial. Mr. Tyndale suffered a fractured skull and multiple bleeds on the brain after being attacked at Sterling's home in Guns Lane, West Bromwich. Detective Inspector Sleavin, who led the investigation, said Wendy Mann was a loving mother to 3 children, whose life was cruelly ended by the father of those children, Leroy Sterling. No one but Sterling knows exactly what subsequently took place, but what did follow was obviously a vicious attack upon Wendy by Sterling that ended her life. This was no doubt driven by a jealous rage at Wendy's new relationship. Painstaking forensic examination and the CCTV viewing placed Sterling at the scene at the time that Wendy must have met her death. The jury, upon listening to all of the evidence presented, have reached the correct decision. We hope that the verdict in some way brings closure to Wendy's family, but recognise that painfully her children will grow up knowing that their father ended their mother's life.
West Midlands Ambulance Service, NHS Trust, has become the first in the country to be rated as outstanding following an inspection last year. Health and Social Care Regulator, the Care Quality Commission, CQC, carried out an inspection last summer. Inspectors looked at all aspects of how the trust operated, including emergency care and patient transport. Among inspectors' findings were that staff were outstanding in the way that they supported patients. The report also outlined that the hard work of staff is exemplary and making a real difference to patients. Anthony Marsh, chief executive, said, "I am incredibly proud of my staff and the volunteers who support us for providing the best possible care to patients. Helping others is at the heart of everything we do, and I am hugely pleased that the QCQ saw a positive patient-centred culture within the trust, with hard-working staff proud to work here and making a real difference to patients' lives. I accept the comments in the report relating to improvements required in patient transport services. We have already implemented a number of improvements since the inspection and will continue to make further improvements so that we can improve their rating."
It's been called the safest coin in the world, and with just 2 months to go until the new £1 coin enters circulation, preparations are underway for its arrival. Councils across the Black Country and Staffordshire have been spending thousands of pounds updating car park machines so they will accept the new 12-sided coins. Designed by Walsall teenager David Pearce, the coin will enter circulation on March 28th, and by October 15th, the traditional round coin will cease to be legal tender. The coin boasts several new security features, including a hologram. Sandwell Council is spending £23,364 updating its machines by making alterations to the software and the coin selector. Wolverhampton Council has already updated its 80 machines across the city to accept the new £1 coin. Spokesman Tim Clark said, "Upgrading the machines cost £8,429.26 for the on and off street pay and display machines and £198 for our pay on exit machines. In Dudley, there are currently 60 pay-and-display machines, and the council said the cost to upgrade them is approximately £6,000. Walsall Council updated its 47 machines at a cost of £4,500 last year, while Stafford Borough Council says all of its machines have been upgraded, so motorists will be able to use the new coin. Supermarkets also have already begun making changes to their trolleys to ensure customers will be able to unlock them using the new style £1 coin. Kat Parkinson of Tesco said, "We have replaced the lock on our trolleys, so our customers will not be affected when the new pound is introduced. The new coin slot will accept the old and new pound, as well as existing trolley tokens." Gareth Lundy, an Asda spokesman, said, "Customers will be able to use the new £1 coin in Asda trolleys when it comes into circulation in March. The current £1 coin and trolley tokens will also continue to be accepted," he added. Around one in every 30 £1 coins in people's change in recent years has been fake. The new coin, with its 12 sides, will be far more difficult to fake, meaning the money handed over to shops can be safely banked as genuine.
Magistrates have been dishing out tough penalties after food inspectors found failings at premises in the Black Country. Tropical Balti Limited pleaded guilty to six offences at its restaurant, Tropical Balti, in Stourbridge High Street, after an inspection by food safety officers from Dudley Council in February 2016. The offences included failing to implement an adequate food safety management system, failing to keep the premises and equipment clean and in good repair and condition, failing to protect food from contamination, and failing to ensure food handlers wore clean, protective overclothing, resulting in a hygiene rating of zero. Tropical Baltis Limited owners were fined £5,000, ordered to pay Dudley Council costs of £1,250 and a victim surcharge of £170 at a hearing at Wolverhampton Magistrates Court on January the 19th. In a separate case, Nasser Hussein, former owner of Prego Pizza Takeaway in King Swinford, pleaded guilty to 11 offences, including failing to implement an adequate food safety management system, failing to keep the food premises and equipment clean and in good order and repair, and failing to protect food from a risk of contamination. The court heard that when food safety officers inspected the takeaway in King Swinford High Street in July 2015, they also found food being stored in the toilet lobby. The hand wash basin in the kitchen was not available for hand washing, and changing facilities for food handlers were inadequate. A hygiene rating of 1 out of 5 was given, and Hussein, who was the owner of the business at the time of the inspection, was fined £1,600 and ordered to pay costs of £1,249.60 and a victim surcharge of £160. Dudley Council says he has, however, since left the business and it is now run by a different proprietor.
Smoking costs councils in the Black Country and Staffordshire more than £50 million a year, according to new figures. The Action on Smoking and Health Group has warned that the habit is adding to Britain's social care crisis, putting a burden on local authorities to fork out millions on caring for people with smoking-related illnesses. In 2015-16, smokers in Dudley racked up the highest cost in the Black Country of £9.3 million, while Sandwell Council forked out £7.6 million. In Walsall, smoking cost the council £7.1 million to deal with, while in Wolverhampton it cost £6.9 million. A Wolverhampton Council spokesman said, "Smoking has a massively detrimental effect on individuals' own health and also puts additional pressure on NHS services." In the whole of Staffordshire, the smoking bill clocked in at just over £20 million, including £3.1 million in Cannock, £2.9 million in Stafford and £1.9 million in South Staffordshire. Staffordshire County Councillor Alan White, health and wellbeing boss, said, "The cost of smoking to Staffordshire is around £20 million a year, but the cost to the individual is much more given that half of all smokers die from smoking-related illnesses." Councillor Rachel Harris, a Cabinet Member for Health and Wellbeing in Dudley, said, "The effect of smoking on people's health and wellbeing inevitably has a significant impact on social care and other services." The figures have been included in an all-party parliamentary group, APPG, on smoking and health report.
The government is inviting views from West Midlands industries and businesses in its new industrial strategy green paper. Senior ministers have been in the region outlining how the vision for a modern industrial strategy will benefit the West Midlands. Small Business Minister Margot James, the Stourbridge MP, was at the North Worcestershire Engineering Centre of Excellence in Redditch, and Chancellor of the Exchequer Philip Hammond visited General Electric in Stafford. The green paper, Building Our Industrial Strategy, will outline 10 key pillars for industrial strategy, including driving growth across the country, boosting infrastructure and skills. It aims to close the gap between Britain's most productive companies, industries, places and people and the rest, and make Britain one of the most competitive places in the world to start or grow a business. Margot James said, Some of the UK's finest exports begin life in the West Midlands, on the roads in Land Rovers and Bugatti Veyrons, in the air, on the Airbus A320 and 380, beneath the sea in US Navy deep-dive submarines, and out in space photographing the surface of Mars. Through our industrial strategy and Midlands engine strategy, we will build on these extraordinary local strengths and create new opportunities and jobs in other industries and sectors.
And with that final news item from Ian, we'll now make way for this week's notices. So it's goodbye from Margaret.
Goodbye from Ian.
And goodbye from Joyce.